LinkedIn presents.
From one caregiver to another, welcome. If you're tired, confused, frustrated, searching for answers, looking for resources, about at your wit's end, you tied a knot and it's coming undone, well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Fading Memories. I'm your host, Jennifer, and thank you for tuning in today. This podcast offers advice, wisdom, and hope from caregivers who have lived the experience and survived to tell the tale. Think of us as your caregiver best friend. You've heard me talk about the product line from Pharmacy for over a year, and I've got great news for you. You can still get 30% off these already affordable products, so now is the time to stock up and help support the show. If you're caring for a loved one at home, you should definitely try the bathing cloths, the no-rinse shampoo and body wash, and definitely the odor eliminator. Every home needs odor eliminator. I've personally used the hydrogen peroxide wipes for superficial burns. Pharmacy also has a hemorrhoid wipe or a foam option, whichever you prefer. They have alcohol pads for regular injections or other sanitizing needs. So what does my household use? Definitely the odor eliminator, witch hazel wipes for skincare, bathing cloths, and the alcohol wipes. Use the hot link in the episode notes or head to my website for the same link. It's also in the episode notes.
Any piece of clothing that's altered to make dressing faster, safer, or easier. For us specifically, we're focusing on older adults who are living with changes related to cognition, to motor or mobility or range of motion, frankly, because there are a lot of brands that are making great adaptive apparel, but they tend to focus on younger adults. They tend to focus on people between the ages of 15 and 50. And you know, as we age, our bodies change, our needs change, our skin changes. So when we think about our designs, we are designing with an older adult's body and needs and changing abilities in mind.
That's Jimmy Zolo of Joe and Bella. Joe and Bella is the first contemporary adaptive apparel brand for older adults. They make stylish, comfortable clothes that balance form and function, making dressing easier, stress-free, and more dignified. Living with age-related changes does not mean wearing clothes that don't look or feel like you. In our conversation, Jimmy and I discuss all of the challenges the designers had to overcome to create stylish, functional, adaptive clothing for older adults. We also go into a little bit about the history of Joe and Bella because it is a passion project like this podcast, and it has a very warm-hearted origin story. I've got a scary story for you. What would you do if your mom was trying to withdraw over $1 million to send to someone who called her and offered her a stake in a new business? This is actually a true story that thankfully has a happy ending. The scammers didn't get a dime out of mom. The bigger question is, how do we prevent these phone calls? Thankfully, there's IMP. IMP is a product that stops 100% of unwanted calls. Plug the device into a phone jack, and IMP will only allow wanted callers to ring through. IMP pairs your smartphone contacts with your landline to create a list of callers who can make your phone ring. IMP then checks every call that comes in. If it's a caller IMP recognizes, they ring through. Otherwise, IMP silently handles the call for you in the background. No ring, no problem. IMP provides real-time tools to help you manage any landline. For caregivers near or far, this means safety for your loved one and peace of mind for you. The easy-to-use app gives you access from anywhere at any time. Get yours at joinimp.com or use the hot link in the show notes. And help support my podcast. Welcome back, Fading Memories listeners. You know I'm always so appreciative of your time, and you're going to really enjoy today's episode. I have Jimmy Zolo from Joe and Bella. If you're not familiar with Joe and Bella, they are an adapting clothing company, and Jimmy's going to tell us all about how they got started, because that's an actually interesting story, and why adaptive clothing is so important for the older adults in our life. So thanks for joining me, Jimmy.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to talk and share a bit about what we're working on.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It'll be a kind of a nice update because I think in early 2020, sometime during the pandemic, we did an Instagram live. So it's probably somewhere on that platform.
Right.
This, right. This one will live.
And it's funny. When we spoke last time, we weren't making clothing and we weren't really thinking about making clothing, but things changed pretty quickly after we spoke, which we'll get into.
Well, awesome. So kind of tell us how, like, I mean, I've read the story. So your grandmother was having struggles, as many of our loved ones do, and you put her in, was it assisted living or memory care? That part I forgot.
So she was living in a memory care community. She was in a wheelchair, but was living with some cognitive decline. And she was there when the pandemic hit. And, you know, like everybody else during the pandemic, that was a really tough experience in the beginning because you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know what to expect. No one really knew anything. It was really scary. And we were wondering if we should try and get her out. We were wondering if what we could do to support the community. And that's when we started Joe and Bella. And it wasn't meant to be an apparel or fashion brand at the time. It was when we spoke, we created a place to make shopping for your loved one during the pandemic way easier. So you didn't have to worry about them running out of essentials. And that was just meant to be kind of this side project during the pandemic. So loved ones wouldn't have to worry about their family members in memory care running out of essentials. But that changed a little bit after we spoke. I was FaceTiming with my grandmother. And at the time, it was really the best way to communicate with her. We tried calls that didn't really work. And we tried doing the talk through the window thing, which felt almost torturous to a degree. But FaceTime was the best of the options. And it also allowed us to have a bit different perspective on what her life was like at the memory care community. And it was during one of these calls when a caregiver was helping her to put on a sweater because my grandmother was cold. And I'll never forget it. It was the first time in my life I ever heard my grandmother swear. she dropped an F-bomb and it was it was shocking. she was the most formal, buttoned up woman I had ever met, the type who wore high heels and a dress every day, never had a hair out of place, would never swear. And so for her to do that, you could tell she was in a whole lot of pain. And it was just from having to move her arm just slightly back to get into the sleeve. And the care partner was helping her to get dressed. Did everything right. She was patient and kind and gentle, but my grandmother's body just didn't move in that way anymore. So I remember hanging up and being really frustrated. And I went online to find clothing for her that would make that process less painful. And I found a couple options. I ordered their top products, their top seller, sent it to my grandmother. And when they got to her, I gave her a call. And she said, "No, I'm not going to wear that." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Too ugly," which was very, very much in line with who she was. You know, there were days at that point where she didn't know who I was, but she still had that personal sense of her identity and what she was comfortable wearing and how she wanted her clothing to make her feel. And that was when Joe and Bella really turned from being this side project during the pandemic to saying, "Hey, we can do something about this." So now we are out there making and designing and coming up with new products that makes dressing less painful and faster and easier for older adults, but focuses on fashion and make sure everything is modern and beautiful and everything in between.
Yeah, see, my mom was not ever really, she always cared about how she looked, but she wasn't really a fashion plate. And as her Alzheimer's progressed, it was like she just didn't even have the awareness that, you know, those don't work together, or, you know, you've worn that sweater 4 days in a row, that kind of the typical thing. But my paternal grandmother sounds like she was a lot like your grandmother. So so tell us who Joe and Bella are, because they are actual real people.
They are actual real people who were an inspiration for us. So not only did my grandmother live in a memory care community, my grandfather did as well. He had Parkinsonian dementia. And when we made the choice to move him and my grandmother into memory care, it was something we had been planning. So we knew where they were going to move, but it also been something we had been putting off, which I think is typical. So for any listeners who have a loved one there, I'm sure you went through the same thing of, is this the right time? Can we wait any longer? Is there any way we can keep them at home safely? And for us, despite having 24/7 in-home care for them, they weren't safe at home any longer. So when we made the move, it was so last minute that it was Christmas Eve of 2012.
Oh, geez. I thought we were so bad.
So talk about a, added pressure. And I remember it was a dark, dreary night in Chicago. It was cold and the community was empty. There was sort of a skeleton crew there working that night. And by the time we had finished getting the room set up, it was, 8:30 at night. And I think we were sort of moping around at that point, feeling bad for ourselves and wondering, is this the right place for our grandparents? Are they going to be taken care of? Are they going to be with people that they want to be with? Sort of every doubt that you would have when you make that move for a family member. And a nurse at the community was giving us a tour. And during the tour, two residents jumped in line with us. And they slowly started taking over the tour and did so in the most incredible way, where they were lighthearted and joking and really made us feel at home. And that was Joe and Bella. And they ended up becoming part of our family, come over for Mother's Day and Father's Day and Thanksgiving. And they ate every meal with my grandfather until the day he passed. Both Joe and Bella have since passed. Bella passed recently in 2022. But we named the company after them. And we did so for two reasons. The first is that moment, that feeling of relief when we met them, that they gave to us, was this like most incredible gift. And that's our ideal, and that's what we want to give back to people. Because I know when people come to Joe and Bella, our website, and they have a very specific need. They need to help their family member who's maybe their dementia or their Parkinson's or other age-related changes has progressed more rapidly than they had expected. So they come to us saying, "Oh my God, I need help." So we want to give back that same feeling that Joe and Bella gifted to us. And the second is it does put a little bit of extra pressure on us in a way, in that these are very real people whose legacies we need to live up to. And for us, giving anything and doing anything less than our best, any product that doesn't live up to their names and who they were, just can't happen. So it's a little bit of added extra pressure, but for people that we really deeply loved.
See, I think that's such a cool story. And it points out that, a memory care, an assisted living community, they are not places you dump your loved ones because you don't want to deal with them anymore. Whatever negative thought processes people have. My mom always said, "I don't want to be a burden to you girls. I want to live in my home." Not understanding that those were mutually exclusive. And my mom had friends that the three of them. So it was three different Dianes, as if that's not confusing enough. The three of them would get into mischief, which was just fine with me. They never caused any trouble. It was always just like one day we had to put a new area rug in my mom's room, and her and other Diane, as we referred to her, they rolled it up and hid it in other Diane's room. Well, I have no idea why. I mean, it was just this weird, and they were always like the Three Musketeers. And I have another past guest. He and his wife into, I know they're in an assisted living community. She has very advanced Alzheimer's. And the caregivers and the other residents and other people give to Kate is what they actually have pseudonyms online, which is kind of cool. The socialization and the the joy, because she's like a really happy, like my mom got kind of mean. This gal is very happy. And the people that have spent time with her, it's like they're benefiting. Kate's benefiting. Richard's benefiting. Right. Everybody's benefiting. And they would not have had that. He recognized that she was going to get to a point where he couldn't care for her anymore. They ended up caring for, I think, out of 3 out of 4 parents. So they've been, he's been down this road multiple times, and he was smart enough to know, you know, I'm not going to be able to keep doing this in my 70s and 80s. And he had planned ahead for moving them into an assisted community. I'm assuming that they live on the assisted living side because he doesn't need memory care at all. And it's just, he gets socialization, she gets socialization, they get socialization. It makes his caregiving of her easier. I know that there's caregivers that work with her. So, you know, it's one of my soapboxes that I stand on, is that, you know, don't dismiss memory care out of hand because, you know, you've heard horror stories. So I like to tell the non-horror stories.
I'm 100% with you. I think those horror stories are outliers for this industry. I think the people involved in our senior housing in this country, they do so because they've been deeply impacted by the space themselves, and they have such a deep love for it. I know for us personally, my grandmother lived in a Kelsch community, and the staff there, they were part of our family. When she passed, we saw them all gather and cry. They cared so deeply for her, and you know, there are so many other amazing communities throughout the country, like Priority Life and the Belmont Villages, who just do things so incredibly well and hire amazing people and are innovating in some really interesting ways too. Belmont Village has an amazing program called Circle of Friends that is all about education later in life, particularly for those living with cognitive change. That's incredible. So access to those sort of programs are unique to the senior housing and senior living world. I would say everyone's situation is unique, but I'm with you. I'm on your soapbox right next to you.
Well, my paternal grandmother had been mostly blind from glaucoma for like my entire teenage adult years, which, you know, I've just turned 56. She passed away when I was 54. So, you know, it's like, I think I can do math. Yeah, it'll be 2 years in April. Lord, time flies. And she was the same way. My paternal grandfather died at the end of 97. And she, in 2005, she fell and hit her face and damaged the eye that was good. And she took a real toll on my aunt, and that was the daughter-in-law. So I was shocked, like almost fell out of my chair shocked when I found out that from my aunt, who had spent like the better part of 25, 30 years taking care of her mother-in-law, that my grandmother actually liked it in the board of care home at the end. She lived there for less than a year and she really enjoyed it. She didn't like the food, which is kind of funny because she was never a great cook, but the people who ran it were Filipino, so they didn't prepare things in the Midwest way that my grandmother grew up in Iowa. So, you know, definitely a different cuisine than what these other people were making. And I mean, literally when I found this out this past Thanksgiving, I literally was just speechless because one, I was like, I need to have that recorded because my Nana is what we called her, was like, family does for family. She had money. She could have been in the Taj Mahal. She could have done whatever she wanted to do with her money. Her mind was fine. She couldn't see. And she was getting really super hard of hearing. But all of the struggles, and we're like so far off the adaptive clothing, but we'll get there.
We'll get back.
All of the struggles of a seriously advanced older adult living alone in a single family home that was built in 1974 and you can't see things. It was just like, I mean, I loved the day that I can't remember if it was her or my aunt. I think it was, I can't remember. One of them called and basically said, we turned on the exhaust fan in the master bedroom and flames came out. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, no.
And I literally, when my aunt said, well, we're moving Nana from the hospital to this board and care home, I thought, phew, I better. This was in 2020. My mom died at the beginning of the pandemic in March of 2020. And I thought, I got to, you know, do whatever I can to go see her. I mean, like, if I got to put a hefty bag over my head, I'm doing it because, you know, I didn't see my mom the last 2 weeks of her life. I saw her the day before she died because the community we had her in was wonderful. And I don't really think, I mean, it was after the lockdown started, so I'm not really sure why they let us in, but I'm glad they did. But I thought, oh man, you know, this woman's going to be in a board and care home and hate it because it's not her home. And, you know, she'll be gone in a month. Well, she lasted like nine, so.
Wow.
And she loved it there. I couldn't believe it when my aunt said that. So I do know that having adaptive clothing would have been really beneficial for my Nana because she basically ended up spending the last year of her life living in pajama pants and multiple layers of cardigans. I guess she was always cold. I mean, she'd be wearing like two sweaters out on the deck in 90 degree weather. Like, I'd actually brought a fan. I like it warm, but it'd be like, it gets a little warm out here. And she's wearing, you know, pajama pants and cardigans. And I know she would not have liked the way she looked. She was particular about the way she looked, more so than my mom. But like I said, Nana had her, she had her 90% of her cognitive ability, or 95. It's hard to tell because you literally had to like rest your chin on her shoulder and scream in her ear. Which was never fun. So tell us about adaptive clothing and why it's important for older adults since, you know, I plan on living to be 103 like she did. I forgot to mention that, which means I have 47 more years to go.
Wow. Yeah, you got a ways then. So adaptive clothing is, it's a broad term, but it really just means any piece of clothing that's altered to make dressing faster, safer, or easier. For us specifically, we're focusing on older adults who are living with changes related to cognition, to motor or mobility or range of motion, frankly, because there are a lot of brands that are making great adaptive apparel, but they tend to focus on younger adults. They tend to focus on people between the ages of 15 and 50. And you know, as we age, our bodies change, our needs change, our skin changes. So when we think about our designs, we are designing with an older adult's body and needs and changing abilities in mind. And we have our first two products now out in the market. One is what we call our Care Zips, which is an adaptive pair of pants. And our other one is called our Freedom Pant, which is another pair of adaptive pant. They're slightly different. The Care Zip is a It's our top seller. It's got a patent for a three zipper design. So it has two zippers on the side and a third zipper sort of underneath. And what's so great about that is it allows for an incontinence product to be quickly and safely changed without someone's pants having to come all the way off. So about 80% of individuals who move on into a memory care community who are living with dementia or Alzheimer's will become incontinent. So it's a really high percentage of individuals within those communities. And they need their incontinence products changed between 8 and 12 times over the course of a day. And that can take anywhere between 12 and 20 minutes, depending on the individuals. It is tough. It is tough on the staff. It is tough on the residents, particularly now where everyone is understaffed. So think about residents who are sort of sitting around waiting for help, waiting for staff to come to be able to assist them. And so our products are meant to cut that time by at least half and also do so in a way where it doesn't look like you're wearing something you wouldn't want to wear. So we designed the fit to be worn with an incontinence brief. So you can't tell that there's a brief under there. We made the fabric super comfortable, but we also, even though it's kind of like a sweatpant type of fabric, it looks more like a khaki or a chino style fabric. So it gives off that more sort of elevated impression. And we added things like pleats and a really sort of fine finish on a waistband that you wouldn't normally see in adaptive wear, just to elevate it that extra degree. So it's something people actually want to wear because it's one thing if it solves a problem, it's another thing if it solves a problem and people actually wear it and want to continue wearing it, which is the goal. But those are our first two products. And we actually have five more that are coming out over the course of the next 4 months. So we're being pretty ambitious, but we've got a chino for men, a dress pant coming out for women, a men's button down coming out, and a women's long sleeve top coming out as well. So we've got a lot of in the works that we're navigating that we're pretty excited about.
Now, I know one consideration that you have to take into with adaptive clothing is Velcro is not necessarily a great product to use because it can, you know, as we age, our skin gets thinner, and Velcro is, you know, if you got a piece of Velcro, you know, rubbing against your skin, even if you're, you know, not an older adult, I guess I like it how you said the other companies focus on 15 to 50. It's like, oh, that puts me in the older adult category. Oh, no. I don't want that. But, you know, even still, you know, if you had something rubbing, it's not at all pleasant. And yeah, I'm assuming with the zippers, there's a way that like it's designed so that you can't zip somebody's skin into the zipper, because that would be worse than Velcro.
Yes, exactly. So all of our zippers have a back facing on it. So it's never going to be skin to skin there, or zipper to skin there, I guess. But I'm with you for any of the products we're going to have this year, which by the end of the year, between 9 and 12 total, none of them will use Velcro. Velcro tends to be the primary closure device that all the other adaptive apparel brands use, but we're avoiding it for that exact reason, among others. We think it's specifically poorly designed for those who live in senior housing, because often their clothing is thrown in larger industrial washes, and that's where sort of Velcro really goes to get beat up and destroyed. And the other challenge with Velcro is I think it just doesn't look as good as a zipper or a snap of some sorts, because if you don't line it up just perfectly right, then the fit of the item, whether that's a shirt or a pants, it is off, and that could also lead to gaps where someone's skin is exposed. So we're very anti-Velcro when it comes to adaptive clothes.
Now, Velcro's got a lot of good uses, but not for that one. Have you looked into magnets? Because I like snaps are tricky, because you either have to be able to get your hands around both sides, or you're pushing the snap up against their bodies, which is not really cool. You have a young child and another one on the way, probably before the baby new one will come out before this episode, I think. So that'll be interesting. But I'm sure you've experienced the challenge of snaps with baby clothes.
Now we're going to take a quick break for an ad. These ads help me continue to bring the show to you for free. When I learned that despite eating as healthy as possible, we can still have undernourished brains, I was frustrated. I also live in a farming community, so I'm aware that our food isn't grown as well as we need. Learning about NeuroReserves, Relevate, and how it's formulated to fix this problem convinced me to give them a try. Now I know many of you are skeptical, as was I. However, I know it's working because of one simple change. My sweet tooth is gone. I didn't expect that, and it's not something other users have commented on, but here's some truth. My brain always wanted something sweet. Now, fruit usually did the trick, but not always. One bad night's sleep would fire up my sugar cravings so much they were almost impossible to ignore. You ever have your brain screaming for a donut? Well, for me, those days are gone. It's been about 6 months since I started taking the supplement, and I have no regrets. I believe in my results so much that I'm passing on my 15% discount to you. Try it for 2 or 3 months and see if you have a miraculous sweet tooth cure, or maybe just better focus and clarity. It's definitely worth a try. Now back to our conversation.
The snaps are tough. They really are. Especially for anyone who's changed a baby in the middle of the night, it is torturous to go in there at 4 a.m. You can barely see and realize there are 20 snaps that you have to do to get a onesie back on. It's the same thing for clothing when you get older. No one wants all of those snaps. So we are exploring magnets. Three of our products will likely have magnets that get released early part of this year. One of them is actually going to be using a combination, using magnetic snaps. What I like about snaps is that it's ultra secure. The challenge, of course, is it's harder to do. So magnetic snaps is sort of like this nice merger. They're not very prevalent on the market. They're harder to find, and they tend to be a little bit more expensive. But we felt like they're a nicer solution, a little bit more elegant solution for that very problem.
Yeah, because I've seen. Well, I have a cycling jacket. It's actually two pieces, so it's like a vest with magnets in the collar area, and then you have like your sleeves, which for the ladies out there that are old enough to remember shrugs, so the jackets that don't really have any length to them, they're just arms and the backing part. That part magnetizes on, and it doesn't move once you get them together, and it's not terribly challenging. You know, if you put the vest part on and then the sleeves on and just kind of give it a pat, they usually line up pretty easily, and it's nice. It's nice to have the two different options. You know, maybe you just want your arms to stay warm, but you don't need a lot of warmth around your middle. And you just wear the shrug part because, you know, I can do that. I'm a girl. I don't know how that would look with guys. And of course, it's photo reflective for, you know, the cars that might come up at you. But that's my familiarity with magnets. But I've also seen other adaptive clothing brands. Are some of them tout the use of those. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how those work. Magnets work with people with like pacemakers and stuff. Right.
That's the downfall for magnets is the audience who has pacemakers, obviously can't wear something that has a magnet, or most likely depending on the strength of the magnet. The other challenge is, you know, if it's going into a wash, it can get stuck in the wash quite easily, depending again on the strength of the magnet. So the challenge with adaptive, there's always upsides and downsides. I'm a big proponent of magnets for those that can use them because it just is so much faster. And I think it's really, really safe, particularly when it comes to assisted dressing. So if you have a nurse or a care partner who's helping somebody else get dressed instead of really trying to get every single button to go through on a button up, it just takes 2 seconds to magnetize on up somebody's shirt. It is so, so nice. And the other advantage is for those individuals who maybe are a little bit earlier in their aging journey, it allows them to extend their independence. Because they can now, let's say, you know, you just have significant arthritis, or your hand dexterity has changed and buttons just aren't an option for you. This gives you the ability to, instead of having to go into sweatpants, you can now wear jeans or khakis again, like you always used to, because the button and the fly are magnetized. And it allows you to do that with one hand really quickly. So it gives people their independence back. So I really love those as options.
I think I'd prefer magnetic button jeans now. I would think they would press into your... Yeah, well, my biggest problem with a button on jeans is that when I'm sitting, they jab into my stomach because parts of me are too round. But that's okay. I was going to ask a question and it just... Well, I'll go on to the next one. So who's designing the clothing for you? Are you guys doing that or...
So we now have two different sort of sources of design. The main one who is responsible right now for 100% of our designs, her name is Kara Sumpton. She's fantastic. Kara is a designer by trade. She was on the startup team for Lululemon way back in the day. And then she designed the launch line for Figs for a brand out of Chicago called Public Rec that makes just really cool modern apparel. And now she's working with us and Joe and Bella. And Kara was very in demand. And we were fortunate just to get a call with Kara, frankly. We didn't think she was going to take the job. We didn't think that we were going to be fortunate enough to have Kara designing our apparel because she is really well known. But what happened was the day before Kara's call, it was her grandmother's 95th birthday. And she bought her grandmother a cardigan that her grandmother couldn't put on by herself. And, you know, I'm not necessarily one to say things happen for a reason, but the timing of that was pretty amazing. And had that not happened, I don't think Kara would have ended up working with us. And Kara has since gone on to say, hey, that working on Joe and Bella's products is the most important work of her life. It's also, I think, in many ways for her, the most frustrating and the most challenging because of how hard it is to make this right, because everything has to be right for the product to work. It always starts with the fabric with Kara, but then it has to be the fit. It has to be the different closure types. It has to be, making sure a zipper has a back facing and then the zipper pull is extra long. And it could also be hidden, but for people who don't know where it is, but easy to find for the people that need to find it. It's got to, going back to your point about the magnets, we got to make sure we're not creating any pressure points at all, particularly for people that are in wheelchairs or maybe are in a bed or sitting down for the majority of the day, because that could be a danger risk or a health risk. So there are all of these unique challenges that I know Kara and her team have had to navigate, and we're just so grateful for their work and their diligence with that. The other is unique. So this past semester, we partnered with Columbia's Fashion School of Design here in Chicago. We met a professor out there. Her name is Reyes, who used to be a product lead at Disney. And she happened to be teaching a class on adaptive apparel with some incredible students. And we connected with Reyes. And for the last semester, her students broke up into teams and created product designs for Joe and Bella. And every, I think, 3 to 4 weeks, we would zoom on in with them or go into their class and give them feedback and direction. And at the end, they had three pretty amazing designs that were unlike anything that's existed in the market before and were really clever. And what I loved most about this was we found a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds who were so removed from the challenge and that we are trying to solve for that they were able to look at it from a very different lens. And it's going to be we're going to go ahead and partner with Columbia College and Reyes in her class again this upcoming semester. And I believe we're going to try and even manufacture one of the final designs that came out of this past class. So it's been an amazing experience. We've learned a lot from it, which is great. And I hope they have too.
Yeah, no, that sounds like an excellent partnership. And when you said that they were so far removed from the problem that you're trying to solve, you know, my mind immediately went to, you know, that they're learning what, you know, like what the other half is living. I didn't even expect you to say that they looked at it through a different lens, which that just has me super curious now. It's like, I would love to know what they're doing. So what is it that they've come up with that seems unique and unexpected because of their age or lack thereof?
So one of the designs that I'll call out with that was just so clever was a different version of pants. So for Joe and Bella, we have these side zippers and a third zipper underneath. They created a four zipper system that allows for the wearer to only open the pants in the front or the back or all the way. And it hadn't ever been done before by anybody else, because if you have four zippers all attached to the waistband, that's not only is that a lot of weight, but if they're all open, the pants would just totally drop. But they were able to figure out a way in which they sew the pants together that it created this sort of unique pressure system on the waistband itself that allowed the waistband to stay up despite it essentially not being attached to itself. I'm not describing that very well, but it was really, really smart and really clever, and nothing like that had been designed before. So that was one of them that we just absolutely loved. Another group came up with a really cool variation of a woman's shawl. Typically with adaptive tops, the challenge are the sleeves. And the reaction to that was, Well, that just make a top that doesn't have any sleeves. So they solved that problem in an obvious way that most in the market have also ignored. They're really great about thinking outside the box and sort of pushing the boundaries of what's been accepted before in when it comes to adaptive.
See, that's awesome. My husband was always big on we're Rotarians, and he ran for city council, but he was a planning commissioner for 10 years. And one of his platforms running for city council was, you know, we need to connect the high schools with apprentice programs because not everybody is college material. Not everybody can afford college these days. And we have a friend that owns a Ford dealership in our old hometown. And those mechanics, man, they make some serious money, like really, really good money. And he had a heck of a time finding mechanics, period, not just good qualified ones. Because, you know, it's, you know, these days, like I have a hybrid and I think it's got 7 or 9 computers in my little Honda Accord. I'm like, that's insane. I went from a 1999 Civic, which had 0 computers, I think, to, you know, this hybrid that's all super techy. And it's the first Honda that had its, that we bought the extended warranty for, you know, so it's just, it's such a necessary thing to part, you know, to be able to partner with people who can think outside the box and come up with new ideas. I know one of the challenges with, well, not necessarily especially men, but men whose caregivers, like in a memory community, are women. Like, if you have to use the toilet for things other than what men stand up for, they don't want some woman down there right on their knees pulling their pants down, and or that might give them the wrong idea. So being able to keep the front covered is beneficial for a lot of reasons. And I've seen right, stuff like that, but not with 4 zippers. That sounds like an engineering marvel.
Really it really is. We were amazed, and for them it was this challenge that they knew they wanted to go this direction, and it took them the entire semester. I think it took them till 2 days before the semester was over before they had this aha moment of, wait a second, this is how it could work. And part of how they were able to solve it is, you know, college students are using the latest and greatest tech, and they were using a 3D modeling tool of the design. You know, it just sort of blew us away that allowed them to solve that. But I agree with you. And we're trying to, not only when it comes to the design of our apparel, but the type of other companies that we work with, totally think outside the box and push the boundaries of how do we improve the experience on our site? How do we improve the process of getting our products to the people that most need them? And learn from this experience with Columbia College and others, because it's been pretty inspirational for us.
Well, if you need another school to partner with, my daughter went to the Academy of Art in San Francisco, and they have a huge fashion department. Raven Simone from The Cosby Show, now I'm really showing my age, she actually attended. For those who are, for those who are younger, Raven Simone was also in, she was the star of That's So Raven. That was a 90s show. So it's a pretty interesting option, you know, and then it give you an opportunity to go to San Francisco, which is a really, right now it's got a little waterlogged and some damage from these storms we've had. But other than that, it's a pretty unique town to visit. So yeah, there's an option.
Beautiful. Yeah. Being in Chicago most of the winter, we're always looking for an excuse to get away from the snow.
I was in Chicago in July, so July 2022. Gorgeous town. And being in California, we don't have very many buildings made out of brick, because brick doesn't hold up too well with earthquakes. So I was just like, I so appreciated the architecture, because it was 100% different than what we have here. And it was gorgeous. I should have spent one more day there. I'm like, why did I fly home Sunday when I could have flown home Monday? But that was okay. I was there to see Mrs. Kelly's Journey Home. It's a play. I think this gal, the Breida Miller, lives in, she's either Minnesota or Wisconsin, one of those equally freezing cold states. And it's a story about her mom, who was an Irish immigrant, And the end of her mom's life, she had dementia. So it's a really beautiful one-woman play that Brita puts on. And we were at Captain, or was it Captain O'Neill's, or is that the right name? Something O'Neill's. Pretty sure it was Captain O'Neill's. That doesn't sound right, though. Anyway,
a nice restaurant. O'Neill's on Wells, which is a great restaurant.
Yeah, no, this one was... Yeah, that this was a bar restaurant too, but I don't think that's what it was called. But anyway, I was going to, well, one other thing about San Francisco, coming in the winter would be much better than July. San Francisco, July is really cold. The best times to see San Francisco would be about October.
Okay.
I went to San Francisco State. Yeah, no, I don't know why, other than, well, we have very, very hot inland weather that combines with the fog in the ocean, you know, zones. And yeah, San Francisco in the summer generally runs about 60 degrees. And you can always kind of laugh at the tourists that are there in shorts and tank tops turning all shades of blue and buying the overpriced touristy sweatshirts.
Yep.
Yeah, It's a very interesting town. Just part of it's just that the weather is really strange too. Right. And I was going to ask one quick question. Have they adapted baby clothing? Blah. You were saying how hard it is to snap onesies in the middle of the night. My daughter's 31 and I still remember those challenges. Haven't they improved baby clothes yet?
They have. There's a fantastic brand, I believe, called I really hope I'm not going to butcher this. I believe they're called Magna Me. So Magna as in magnetic, Me. And they make really great magnetic baby onesies and other sort of baby items. They are really clever. They have a bunch of patents out for how they've designed it. And then going back to the conversation earlier about, hey, being a parent changing your child in the middle of the night. Oh my goodness, are they a godsend? It is a fantastic product, and big fans of them. I'm sure there are others, but they're the one who we know the best.
Awesome. So when we were talking about that, I'm like, okay, I know like some stuff is slow to change, but like, come on, you know. But it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. The baby market tends to get a lot of investment. It tends to, despite being smaller and on a per capita basis, growing significantly slower, in fact, declining in most cases relative to the growth rate of the older adult market in this country. The amount of investment when it comes to consumer products is disproportionately going to products for babies and for kids as opposed to older adults. So we definitely take a lot of inspiration from brands like that who have really figured out and innovated there. But of course, you know, what works there isn't always going to work for our market. But we can definitely learn and try and take inspiration from their direction.
Well, in the almost 5 years I've been doing this podcast, we've gone from almost no adaptive clothing to a lot more options. So it'll be interesting to see how the next 47 years of my life plays out. I hope I don't need adaptive clothing, but if I do, you know, I know where to go. I'll have to make sure the hubby knows where to go, or the daughter might be a better option. And yeah, I'm interested in those magnetic button jeans so that when I'm sitting at the computer doing my little Zoom calls, I'm not getting jabbed with a metal button. This has been awesome. Fantastic. Sorry. We're having a little bit of Zoom lag, so that's okay. But yes, thank you. I knew when we talked back in 2020, and I can't remember what month it was. I was like, I'm pretty sure they weren't doing adaptive clothing. So it's interesting to see how you guys have evolved.
Yeah, it's been a big change. We are awfully excited, and we've been so fortunate to meet folks like you in the space who are just incredible advocates for startups and new ideas and innovations, and just advocates for, hey, we can take care of older adults in this country better, and for putting those folks like the senior housing who are doing it the right way, shining a spotlight on that and advocating for those that are making a positive change. So thank you so much. For anyone who's interested in learning more, please feel free to check us out, joeandbella.com. You can ping me on Twitter or LinkedIn or email, whatever is easy as well, if you have ever any questions or if there's any ideas that come to mind after listening to this. But Jennifer, I really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Well, look forward to seeing some more innovative designs made by, I guess those are Gen Zers, aren't they? Oh, Lord. Oh, now I feel old. Thank you so much, Jimmy. And best of luck to you with the new baby and the new clothing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've gotten all the way to the end, which tells me you would probably be interested in my weekly email newsletter. It's short, to the point, and it's got some great behind-the-scenes information I think you'd really enjoy. There's a sign-up link in the show notes. Now, here is what is coming up next Tuesday.
During COVID, the non-human losses have been unbelievable. So many people have been moving from their homes. People lost their jobs, their livelihood. I've talked to people who have said to me, you know, this book, Heartwood, is about physical death, but it's making me think a lot about my divorce or my separation. Other people have said, no, when I was a kid, I lost my favorite toy train. And it seems silly, but it meant the world to me and it was gone. And so I find that talking about loss and stepping back and talking about the things that seem smaller can sometimes be the best way to like take some tentative steps into this arena.
Thank you for listening today. And once again, we'll be back in your ears next Tuesday. Please check out our sponsors and help support our show.